When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Sam Keir, host of Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. For the past 12 months, I've been talking to T20 star David Visa, getting his take from behind the scenes at the IPL, the 100 and the rest of the world's biggest leagues.
That's the Donnelly view system, Diolis. There's no ways in my mind that was up.
These guys don't know how to win at this stage.
He had his driver pick him up in his Bentley.
People start chanting your name. You kind of have to pinch yourself.
Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. Listen now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sport Social.
I have no idea what's going on. This has been hilarious. Myself and Paddy have been talking for the last 7 minutes. I had a live, I had a marker telling me we were live. And then next thing it said that we weren't live. And only for your guys in the comments, I was 100%. Myself and Paddy were halfway through the podcast already and we realized that it wasn't going out live on YouTube. Don't know what happened, but welcome everybody to For the Love of Pomegranate Podcast. Take Again. Two. Only for me looking at the comments, and I saw that Si put in saying that the lads have the same watch as Bardell, and then Joy 5AFC said Neil doing his best Emmy Stalin, and I was like, two of us were mad in conversation, myself and Paddy, and then I realized the live sign was gone off from the top corner. So I don't know what happened. All I know is that we're here now.
So he says, stop watching Borough Leeds. I was watching the Dublin Derby and I left. I could have watched the last 5 minutes instead of going live, what I thought was live.
So we thought we were live, but we weren't. But anyway, we are live and rest assured. That's probably just, the weekend catching up on us as well, because I'm going to put it out there. I had one of the best weekends I've ever had. This weekend, as I was saying there just a moment ago, that there was a moment on Sunday morning, Paddy, where I started just talking. It was the morning after the night before. There had been a lot of drink taken the night before, and I just happened to start talking about all the people I met. And every single time I mentioned somebody's name, I was like, this person, lovely fella, this person, lovely fella. This guy, James Cartwright, had a fridge magnet he brought home for me from Lille. You know, little things like that. It was great to see everybody. Everyone was so sound. I didn't meet somebody over the weekend that wasn't sound. We toured from Aston to Digbeth and back again a couple of times over the course of the weekend. And it was just a mighty, mighty brilliant weekend. Facilitated by so many wonderful, wonderful, wonderful people. It wouldn't have gone ahead without you anyway, number one, Paddy. So I want to say thanks a million to you. And I want to say thank you to Karen in the Aston Inn. And I want to say thank you to the man and woman of the match, Mark Wood and Emma. And the joke was, I said it coming home on the plane last night, I was like, if I'd asked either of the two of them to dispose of a body for me, they would have done it. They couldn't have been more accommodating. They were the best of the best. And anything, yeah, just absolutely super weekend. Thank you to everybody. Thank you so, so much to everybody in it. The result was a nice result as well. So that was brilliant.
Everything went in our favor, really. We got lovely weather. We arrived the day after the beer went down in the Aston Inn. That could have been a disaster if that happened on the Friday. So yeah. we did okay, and we got to have your little birthday tree in Villa Park, and you got your birthday cake in Villa Park. I love it when a plan comes together.
So to give everybody a kind of an insight as to what happened. So we finished the podcast on the Thursday after the Lille game, and I initially thought my bus was supposed to be 2:45 in the morning, so I thought I might be able to get an hour or two sleep. I very quickly realized my bus was at 1:10, so there was no sleep for Neil, and there was also no sleep for Paddy. So we got to Dublin Airport. around 4:30 in the morning. Our flight wasn't until 7:30. We got a bite to eat, and Paddy threw himself down for 45 minutes of his sleep, and I got 45 minutes sleep on the plane. And that was more or less it. And we were going to Birmingham to do a live show that night. And we were like, what have we done to ourselves? You know, what have we done to ourselves? Like, sleep was at a massive premium. But we pulled it out of the bag anyway, one way or another. We got a couple hours sleep before the gig, all right. But yeah, everything was just super. It really was amazing. We got to meet so many great people. Kurt Wilson put up a prize for a raffle. We had a wonderful raffle. Michael Huggins came on stage and spoke to us about his idea for the 150-year anniversary, and we will be plugging that until ad infinitum over the next few weeks, because it's a wonderful idea from Michael. And Kurt put a prize up, and we raffled off, and we had a couple of raffles, or a couple of auctions, should I say, and we made quite a bit of money for the Aston Villa Foundation as well. So thank you to everybody who came and donated prizes, put their hand in their pocket and stuff like that. It was just it was magic. It really, really was. Thank you so much to everyone.
We'll do a tally of what we raised over the couple of days, but so much generosity and so much love in the room. It really was incredible. And I think I've lost the comment, but someone said that they had a great night and they met so many wonderful people. And I think that's just a testament to the wonderful people that come and listen to us on a regular basis and came on Friday night and just enjoyed themselves. Mm. You know, every time I looked at someone, they just had a big smile and they were happy and they were enjoying it. And look, we had great guests. Michael Huggins was brilliant. Justin was absolutely brilliant. Toy Bracey was absolutely brilliant. And then the boys knocked it out of the park. The boys came on first because they had to go to another gig. So we had Mark Regan from Villa TV. We had, of course, our European Cup winner, Tony Morley. And the man who some people say single-handedly got us promoted is Gary Thompson, obviously a Villa fan as well. So, great to have a chat with them. As you said in our previous podcast that wasn't actually live, we did try and video it, but I don't think the quality is going to be that great. It's bloody expensive to get someone to come in and do a video for something like that. Obviously, we tried to do it as best we could for Paul McGrath and then ended up with a tattoo on his face from the camera, from the lights. But anyway, we did it as best we could for that one, but on Friday night, I think it was just all about getting to meet those wonderful people that obviously didn't get to go to our 2 hour shows, and it was great that all weekend people that couldn't get to the show were turning up in pubs here, there, and everywhere, and came down to meet us before the game on Sunday and after the game as well. It was absolutely incredible weekend. You just couldn't make up how well it would go, and I worry because we've got three in a row where we haven't had any issues and nothing went wrong, and I worry about the next one and how we're going to pull that one off.
I worry about the fact that there will be a next one and how I'm going to let my missus know that there's going to be a next one, because that was another point of discussion of it. It was like, so what do you do with your next one? I was there. I just have to try not have any more kids for the next for the foreseeable future, so that we can keep this show on the road. Getting the brownie points and getting the hall pass to be able to go to these things sometimes, it's a lot of work having two small kids, but it's
Kieran said we could have got Ben to film it. Kieran, loads of people offered, but yeah, we not hooking into the sound or doing anything like that, we just took the chance on the GoPro to see how it will pan out. And I've been just way too busy today with work to even have a look at the footage from the GoPro to see if we got anything out of it.
And as well, there was always an aspect of it as well, with having Michael on as well. We always knew there was going to be a big, you know, charity event element to it and so on. And, you know, after we covered any costs we had for anything we have as well, we've put back into the Aston Villa Foundation piece as well. On the back of Michael's great idea as well. So we have a small estimated tally, but we're going to probably put something out on Twitter afterwards with the total tally and see what it comes to. But just a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful night. And you mentioned that we had Tony Morley and we had Gary Thompson. We also had a sneaky visit from the European Cup as well, made a visit there as well. So there's some really cool photographs going on with Tony in the European Cup. And, you know, Tony was absolutely great. He, as anybody who's listened to Tony speak, he's a wonderful man for a story, and he's a wonderful man to, you know, to tell you what he's thinking as well, or what he was thinking about 20, 30, 40 years ago when he was playing. And he didn't disappoint as well. So I thank those two, those three guys. Mark Regan sang me happy birthday, I think it was 5 times during the course of the, of the event. But they were absolutely top notch, and they didn't have to come. They were like, they fitted us in between two different events, and I couldn't be more appreciative of them as well, you know. So super stuff from the two guys there as well. And yeah, it's just all around just a really wholesome. And put it this way, I came home with a heart full of memories and a head full of conversations that I really, really enjoyed. And yeah, as I said, it's a special place, you know, being amongst a lot of Aston Villa fans. And even that, Paddy, we came home, probably one of the better stories, actually, that we could tell from the weekend. One of the ones that I've got a clearer head about anyway was, the fun was like, we had fun from the second we left. Like, I was getting on a bus at 1:10 in the morning, and Paddy was getting on a bus at 1:10, and we were giddy as March hares texting each other. And right up until we boarded the plane last night, there was mad stuff happening. We were at our gate, and I'm so sorry, I completely forgot this. And Aston Villa fan comes up to us and goes, "I'm after meeting John McGinn below there in the departures lounge." And we were there, "Fuck off, you did not," because we had met a guy by the name of Dylan Maloney that looked exactly like, we were calling him the fake John McGinn. I went up to him and goes, "You're the head off John McGinn." He goes, "Oh, I nearly made it a trip to Birmingham without someone saying it to me," is what he said. He gets it all the time. So we posed for a photograph with him, and we were trying to pass it off then to a couple of lads that it was actually John McGinn. And then we meet this guy at the gate who gets an actual photograph with John McGinn, who was flying back to Glasgow. So Paddy turns around to me and goes, "He's only after getting a selfie with John McGinn." And there was like 20 of us together. There was 19 fully grown men, I'd say, and a 10-year-old girl who was traveling over, Aoife, who was traveling over with her dad. We all just looked at each other and we turned and we started sprinting, looking for the Glasgow gate to see if we could catch John McGinn. And by the time we got there, the plane had boarded. But it would have been some sight seeing us all running down running towards the Glasgow gate, singing Super John McGinn if he was there. But unfortunately, we didn't make it and we didn't catch him in time. The plane had boarded. But yeah, as I say, it was just good fun from minute one to, I was going to say minute one to minute whatever, but I don't know how many minutes there are in 3 days. That's it. Tommy, no, thank you. Thank you for putting up with us for the whole weekend, Tommy. Yeah.
I was very worried about poor Aoife because being the only... young person at the podcast, I was worried about my language. I hope I didn't do too bad. So if I did, tell me, I'm sorry.
That's okay too. Let's talk about the game, Paddy, because once again, I suppose we'll be intertwining some stories we had from the weekend, I suppose, with the game as well, because I watched the game from the opportunity, but Paddy, you didn't.
No, I didn't.
I was in the opportunity.
I was in the away end.
Paddy was in the away end, kind of.
Yeah. So what happened was, we were out on the Saturday night, and we met some old friends, and we had good chats and whatever. And then this company asked me, would I join them for their lunch in their box on Sunday? And having never done that before, and the fact that I was going to be standing at the match on my own anyway, I said, you know what? Let's do this. Let's do it just once. So I'd like to thank the guys in WRS Systems for letting me into their day and invading on their space where they didn't really know me other than the few minutes they met me for on the Saturday night. But it really was an experience. And I suppose what added to the experience is you're sitting there with the away fans in front of you. Now, if I was to handpick what team I wanted to be behind on a day like that, it was Bournemouth, because they're the most tame bunch of fans you've ever met in your life. But yeah, it was a completely different experience. And obviously, because you're in the away end as well, you're sitting behind glass. There's no seats out the front of your box. So it was enjoyable. We got a lovely meal. It was nice to see how Villa Park compares to, because obviously I've worked in a stadium that does that kind of thing, and I was well used to it. And I have to say, this, it was absolutely top notch, and how they looked after everybody, and everybody felt welcome, and it was just a pleasure to be there. And the only way I can describe watching the game out through the glass, as I said to you yesterday, Neil, is it's like watching the game on telly, but you can move the camera. So you can still see everything, but it actually looks like, you know, because you're behind the glass. Yeah. And yeah, it really was good fun. Something completely different.
Yeah, and the seats I have, I love the opportunity. And, you know, I've sat in, obviously, every stand in Villa Park, but I just love the opportunity. The view we have of the game is just absolutely incredible. Like, even before the game, like, the fan zone was rocking. Like, there was a real sense of, the corporate side of our club is important to our club. Yeah. And it's great that you can share that.
Look, if there's somebody in here, and just the reason why we share every type of experience that we have, there's somebody in here that ever wants to do that again, they'll know that they're treated well. And it's important money that goes to our club. So it's right of me that I could have said nothing and said I was standing on the whole thing and no one would be any the wiser. But it was amazing to be in there and see everything that, and you know, the amazing part was, it's the first time I ever went into a stadium and was able to leave and come back again. They allowed us leave and go over and watch the team arriving, which was pretty cool because we were in so early.
And that was brilliant. And you know what? I'm glad they don't do that for every, well, I'm glad they don't do it for every game currently, but I think there's a lot to be said for that. Obviously, after playing 120 minutes on the Thursday night before, and you knew that Unai wasn't going to shuffle his pack too much, and it turned out he didn't shuffle his pack at all, really, you know, when he named the team. But, you know, that was actually a sight to behold. And I was miles away. Not miles away. I was there. I was beside the statue, but I'm only a diminutive guy, you know, so I couldn't see what was going on. But I actually went back towards where the fan zone was, towards where the stage was, and I was able to kind of get a view from back there, and it just looked really impressive. The flares going, you know, the chanting, we even got our own chant going on about Robin Olsen, the world's number two, going there as well, that people started to kick off with too. But you know, it was just fantastic, and I have no doubt that if you were to ask any player, they went into that dressing room and they went, "It's a big game for us, you know. This puts us 6 points out ahead of Spurs, and we need to get a win today." And yeah, we might have started a small bit flat. You know, we conceded the goal, we conceded a couple of chances, but professionalism in this team is just second. It's like, I've never seen a team as calm, a Villa team in my lifetime, as calm and almost as trusting and professional as this team were. And we worked our way back into it just before half time, and then went on to boss the second half, and Bournemouth were throwing just striker after forward player on for a finish, and I think they finished up a 4-2-4 formation. And you know, even at that, we brought on Douglas Luiz into the back line to make it a back five. But, you know, once Diego Carlos, should I say, to make it a back five. And once we went to 1-1, there was only one winner, you know, in that game. And it was great. It was absolutely super. And Paddy, you said that you were in the way, you were saying classing as the away end. The 1897 group were just above you. And I you know, there's been a lot said on Twitter about you know, atmospheres and so on and so forth for Villa Park. Villa Park was really loud at the weekend. And even all you got to do is watch any Bournemouth fan cast as well. They said the same thing. They said the fans were absolutely amazing from start to finish. It got really loud at times there as well. And I like to think that, obviously, when you go to Villa Park, you hear it from the Holt as well. But where I was, I could hear it from all sides, from all sides of the park. And, you know, it's nice to see those initiatives getting off the ground and going and making something happen. And they were just above you as well, Paddy. So, you know, they're in a different part of the stadium. I like to think as well that contributed as well to the kind of the cacophonous sound, the reverberation of sound that went around the stadium. It was actually in stereo for a lot of the game. It wasn't just coming from my right hand side, from the Holt. It was coming from all around the stadium, and that was cool because, you know, a lot of the Emi Martinez love that was going around, a lot of the Ollie Watkins love that was going around, a lot of the Holt Enders in the Sky that was going around. that, you know, that does have an effect on players in a positive way. And I'd say Ollie Watkins, now he ran his feet into nubs in that game as well. And, you know, why wouldn't he when he can hear all that stuff going around and reverberating?
And I don't know how true it is, but I was told that the players asked for that reception.
Okay.
The European style reception. So they were obviously feeling a little bit, I don't know what the word would be, just a little bit cold after Europe and maybe a little bit down and needed that pick me up. But I've no doubt that that fed into their feeling throughout the game. I've no doubt that what's going on, you know, with those guys that were in the upper tier of the away end, they've done a great job. Everyone that was there at the weekend did a great job. Like, I worried about the atmosphere behind that glass. I'd no need to. It was class. It was absolutely class. From start to finish, every fan needs to give themselves a pat on the back. I've seen people on Twitter giving out about the guys in the upper, Doug Ellis. I just don't get it. You just can't please everybody all the time. And if you want to give out about people, give out about people. I just don't get it. I don't get why he would go in on them. They were just trying to try something new. And I really hope it comes off, because when you see those flags and you see the pyro out leading the team in, it's an incredible atmosphere. It's almost the European atmosphere that you'd expect to see. And it's probably something that's missing in our league. And I think if we can do something special, I don't think that would ever get lost on the players if they need it. Okay, we just need to pick me up today. Let's lead us in today. You imagine, I started a comment there. Somebody said, where is it? One of the greatest weeks in Villa history, up the Villa. Now, obviously, the greatest week in Villa history was the week we won the European Cup. But if you look at the three results we're after having, if we go and beat Chelsea next week, that comment is not far off the mark, because we're in a huge... And if that atmosphere has contributed to the players' performance and everything else around this, we have been the 12th man to get them over the line and get the amount of points we need on the board. Because 9 points is going to be really hard for Spurs. Points on the board is absolutely key. And it's going to be a tough game, obviously. But it will help. And you know what? A late kickoff on a Saturday when everybody's off, there'll be a few beers on board. Just to get that atmosphere behind the players again would be incredible.
And Chelsea will have played, without straying too far into a Chelsea preview, Chelsea would have played Arsenal only 3 days beforehand as well, you know, and they're playing a late kickoff that day as well against Arsenal. Arsenal obviously going for the league. But you're right in what you say, Paddy. You know, I suppose if we split Aston Villa Football Club into pre-Premier League and post-Premier League, I was going to say PPL and then PPL again, but... Mm-hmm. Ante and Domo Premier League, whatever it is, and we you know, it'll be a very telling week, should I say, in our history post creation of the Premier League as well. You know, we've a lot of sob stories, a lot of hard luck stories in the Premier League. Previously, like, people remember Stoke under Martin O'Neill, people remember maybe not going all in to sign a big name striker to win the Premier League in the year of its inception, all that kind of stuff. But once again, Unai Emery has the no excuse culture at the moment, and it's getting us places at the minute, and we've got a big next 3 weeks. We will know how successful this team is going to be in 15 days time. That's my view. And in 15 days' time, we will know if we have Champions League football, and we will know, we will know if we are in a good space to be in a European final. That's just, to me, that gives me a bit of a tingle in the back of my neck, you know, because we could only dream of that years and years and years ago. Could have only dreamed of it.
Go back 5 years, 6 years, yeah. Losing to Fulham. Worried about our existence, and here we are on the cusp of doing something really, really special. I think while I found it very hard a couple of weeks ago to enjoy, and the fear took hold of everything I had to give Aston Villa, the last 8-10 days, whatever it is, has just been unbelievable. And incredible. You know, fair play to everyone involved. Fair play to you know, even if it was the players that noticed they needed that little pick-me-up. Someone mentioned the comment there, Mark Brannigan. He was interviewed straight after the Lille game. He said there was going to be a lot of tired players on Sunday. We need the energy from the home ground to get through it. And I'm sure that's where it came from. And they said, let's start the energy the minute we get off that bus. And look, every one of them looked really, really happy to be there. It's amazing. It's just, and that second half performance, and special mention, 2 weeks in a row, I'm going to mention a player, a different player this time that I had written off at one stage. But I think we witnessed, without him scoring a goal, the best Ollie Watkins performance I have ever seen. He was absolutely incredible. Everything he did was perfection. His hold-up play, his just bringing other players into it, setting up the goal, obviously. If you're going to be critical, say he probably could have put it away himself. But, you know, everything he did was right. All the passes were on the money. He rarely gave the ball away. Just what this manager has done to some of these players, it just can't be overlooked. It's absolutely amazing, the turnaround.
I'm also going to say we witnessed another player who had definitely his best performance, not in the number 10 position, in Youri Tielemans. I thought Youri Tielemans, like, what getting to watch players live and getting to watch them on TV is completely different. I've obviously watched the game back on Villa TV. Not only is the camera based at the other side of the field, and and it's so, like, for Morgan Rogers' goal, the movement of the, like, you don't get to see it on TV, his movement to get into the position he's into when Leon Bailey plays in the ball. But I was on that side of the field, and the way he gets into that into that position was, it wasn't just a simple lazy kind of move out to the left-hand side. He had actually darted inside and pulled the right back with him, and then was like, he was making all these false movements and everything. And this is something I love about this guy. Watching him live, you see him do this an awful lot. He's given the freedom to be able to move inside if he needs to, while needing to have that discipline defensively to get back out there if he needs to as well. But you can see him. I've often said he plays with a smile on his face. And I can, like even the way that he moves around the field, you know that he's doing it from a position of being confident. And how he got into that position to be able to do that was really, really good. Now, the ball from Bailey was just like chocolate. Like, it was brilliant. And also, Moussa Diaby turned into Marvelous Nakamba for 30 seconds. And he came back and he did his best Marvelous Nakamba impression, tackled the guy standing up, took the ball around him. And then, obviously, the ball gets played out as well there. So, a lot of players had really, really good games. And the reason I'm talking about that is I thought Tielemans was absolutely brilliant. I've never seen, like, you don't see how much of a shift he puts in on the TV. And Jesus, he put in some shift yesterday. He gave Lewis Cook nightmares at times yesterday. The speed he was getting onto him, and same with John McGinn as well. So yeah, different viewpoints. You know, being there live and seeing it, and then looking back at it on TV. And it's good that these players are beginning to hit, you know, still hit these numbers so late in the season, the business end of the season, you know. So such a testament to the man, to the man from the Basque Country, that's over this team, because he's just unbelievable. He really, really is. And we met another great, great former Aston Villa manager who's got beautifully jet black hair as well before the game. Well, I did, Paddy. I met John Gregory, and then John Gregory got up on stage and sang Bruce Springsteen for half an hour then afterwards, which is absolutely brilliant. And Alex Lipinski as well, and his band were playing in the fan zone, and they absolutely rocked it. Fan zone was just absolutely amazing, and that carried on into the stadium and carried on to the field as well. And it was that was a game that Villa fans got their money's worth for, anyway, I would say.
Just while you're talking about bands and music, we arrived back into the Aston Inn after the game, and I happened to say, why are they just playing Oasis songs? And it turned out there was an Oasis tribute band on, and Mick Stewart, who listens to the podcast, was in the Oasis tribute band. And I think what I just said, that I thought there was a CD playing, tells you how good this Oasis band were. So fair bloody play to them, that's all I'd say.
Yeah.
Just a joy to Oasis, they're called. They're absolutely brilliant to watch and listen to, and it was lovely to meet them after the game on Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I met him. It was so funny, actually. I was sitting outside the Aston Inn, and this is before, I thought it was before you came down, Paddy, but Yeah, this guy hops out of the back of a van, runs over, shakes my hand, goes, I love the show. And I was there, oh yeah, great, Jesus, what's your own name? He goes, I can't stop and talk. I'm the fella singing inside. And he went back inside then and starts singing. So I was there, class, that's rock and roll. That's what I love about it. That's rock and roll. Yeah. But absolutely super weekend, as I said, topped off by a super super result. There was one other point of the game, Paddy, I want to talk about. And the pop in the comments if you remember what this is. Dominic Solanke gets a run on Ezri Konsa, and Ezri Konsa's closing speed, and gets this little touch. So Solanke gets right into the box, and he's in just on the edge of the 6-yard box, about to pull the trigger. And Konsa comes in with the deftest little touch to knock it out for a corner. I watched it. I'd say I easily, and scrub back and scrub forward easily about 12 times to watch it again. Ezri Konsa is incredible. Incredible speed. Does anyone else remember that? Anyone else remember seeing it? I remember seeing it live, and I was sitting beside a man by the name of Brendan Townsend who had to put up with me. Not only... Siri decided they wanted to get involved. Brendan not only had to put up with me being nervous about the game, but I couldn't get any reception, and my hurling team Limerick were playing at the same time, so I kept on going out to Brendan, what's the score, check the score in the Ireland match as well. So for the first 20 minutes of the game I had his head wrecked checking Twitter because I couldn't get any reception where I was. But I saw it as it happened, and I was like, Jesus, that's a tackle and a half. Absolute tackle and a half. What a super player he is. Super, super player. And Pau Torres, the way he moves into midfield in the space of like two strides as well, seeing that in the flesh as well. Like he looks like a horse when he's out there, and he's moving. He looks like a thoroughbred horse. So, just some really special players and some really good performances, I think.
There was a play in open play. The ball came across the back four, and the guy arriving at the back post was Pau Torres. And you're just going, how does that happen? How does he even get into that position?
I remember myself and Brendan were watching it, and he picked the ball up, and he actually picked the ball back up near his own our own 18-yard box, and he kind of strode forward with it, and whatever way there was a sequence of play, and yes, he ended up nearly getting on the end of the corner or in the end of the cross afterwards, right in their 6-yard box. Yeah. So he isn't afraid anyway to move forward, which is he's hungry for goals. He's hungry for goals, I think, like Ollie Watkins was. So I like that. And look, the team looked like they've gelled superbly as well under Unai Emery. Even like some Morgan Rogers coming in, we spoke about him at the start. His manipulation of the ball when in full flight is crazy good. Does he fall over sometimes? Yeah. Does he get the pass wrong sometimes? Yeah. But he's 21 years of age, 22 years of age, whatever. And it's what, his eighth game in the Premier League or something. He's
nine, I think. Yeah.
No, he's just a really, really promising player, and somebody who's come up with two goals for us already, So somebody we're going to need to rely on in the running, specifically with a couple of players injured. So, well done to everybody. Well done to everybody. I think that was involved with Villa over the weekend in any capacity. That's my overarching feeling.
Yeah, I'm running on fumes here now. So,
I know.
If you have anything else to add, throw it in there, because I'm tired and emotional at this stage.
Yeah, I'm the same. I'm looking at the clock and I'm going, I need to get my bed as well. But I suppose just want to finish again. We've said it a couple of times. Just want to say thank you to absolutely everybody who came. Chad was there as well. Chad Williams from Villa Forever podcast was there as well. Great to meet you, Chad. It really was great to meet yourself and your dad. And apologies, we didn't get to spend more time with you guys. We're running around left, right and centre trying to, trying to put on the event, but I really, really appreciate you coming, Chad. It was really great to meet you. And Chad gave Paddy a t-shirt for his podcast as well. Paddy wore, spreading the word for Duchenne's the condition that Chad has as well. Yeah, so thank you so much for that. Well, I'm saying thank you on Paddy's behalf. I'm sure Paddy's going to say it as well. Thank you so much.
I did win the quiz, and that's why I won the t-shirt. So that's why I brought it on.
There's a reason I didn't tell anyone why. I'm still sour over you. I know. Yeah, my competitive nature.
There's a great photograph of Gary Thompson and Tony Morley holding the European Cup over Chad's head. I have to root it out and send it over to him. There's so many highlights. The every guest that we had there was brilliant. And when I say guest, the people who just stood there and watched and smiled and talked to us and hugged us. It's just that made the whole night. So no matter what you did at our gig on Friday night, you're all bloody superstars in my eyes. But once again, special shout out to my good friends, Mark and Emma, who played an absolute blinder. Because I looked at Mark at one stage setting up that whole rig that he had going on, and I was just in awe. And how he just gliding around the place. You could see he was a little bit worried, but he was gliding around the place and he got the job done, and he did an absolutely unbelievable job.
And lest we forget, they just travelled 590 miles back from Lille.
There you go.
Literally travelled 590 miles back, got to the Aston Inn, set up a thing, went down to beer. Like superheroes, actual superheroes, the two of them. So thank 100%. You so much. Yeah. Thank you so much for that. I think we'll leave it at that, everyone. But for everybody who watches the podcast as well, thank you. Thank you so much. Chad asked there, are we going to have a video of the live podcast? Unlikely. We do have footage of it. We might just put up a kind of a teaser of what, you know, some shots of what the night was like. But we didn't record any audio and stuff like that for the event. And you know what? I wish we did, but because there was some we were loose by the end of it, Paddy. There was a Q&A that went down there that we were finding loose for, put it that way. Having barely slept in 36 hours and the Madry was flowing on my end. I was definitely caught by the Madry monster, and of course the Carling fairy had you by the hand, dragging you around the place too. So it was good crack, and everyone we met was fantastic. But thank you so much to everybody who watches the podcast too. There's 730 of you watching this. Really, really appreciate all the time you give us as well. And as I said, we have a huge 15 days coming up, and I'm so excited. I really, really am. I'm genuine. Do you know what? I'm excited because of how competitive we are as a team. And look, if we don't get to the heights that we want, I'd be upset. But feeling excited in the run up to games like this, and big games, and important games, and tough games, there's a lot to be said for that. To be, you know, to have your football team be able to give you that as well when you know you're going to be competitive. So, looking forward to this coming weekend and seeing where it takes us.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, Kat, I'm going to stop thanking people now, but thank you, everybody. Thank you, everybody that comes here all the time to watch and chat and just leave a comment or a thumbs up or whatever you want to do for us. We really appreciate it. I would have never have believed on that cold February day when you asked me to come on the podcast that we'd be sitting here looking down the barrel of Champions League football with 700 people watching live. We 1,500 people, I think, was our most ever last week watching live. It was just incredible. To be here. So to each and every one of you, thank you so much. Really appreciate it. And we look forward to the next one. It was great to meet you all in 3D.
Yeah. And to Tony and Callum O'Brien, I was convinced when I got to the airport, I took one of your bags by mistake. The two boys let us keep their bags in their room after we checked out on Sunday. And I was wondering, where the hell? I was convinced I had taken one of your bags, but it turned out that was just massive amounts of tiredness. It was actually my bag, which was the funny thing about it. And I opened it up and I saw that there was still some hats in it. So I started giving them out to people in the airport just to make sure it was my bag. But thank you so much to everybody. We are going to leave you at that. And we'll be back with the Chelsea preview later on in the week. But I think I'm going to sleep for the next 24 hours. Well, I won't. I'll have to work, but I'm going to sleep now. And we'll be back later on in the week with a preview podcast for Chelsea. But thanks so much, everybody. And thank you, Paddy. And stay safe, stay healthy. And all that's left to say is up the Villa.
Up the Villa.
How does this thing work again?
Social Podcast Network.